episode 1 of The Joker and the Queen. I am Brianne, and it is a running joke in our house that I am the Queen.
And I'm Charlie. And it is a running joke in our household that I am the Joker.
A joke. The Joker.
A little bit of both.
Yes.
So we're here starting this podcast to shed a little light on our lives, share a little bit about our past, our present, our future.
To vent.
To try to reach out to some people who might be in some similar situations to us.
Mostly because over the last 2 years, we've realized that there are not a lot of people that talk about situations that we have been through.
Some of it's a little bit
taboo.
Taboo, that's a good word for it. And we're not afraid to get out there and talk about it. We're not too afraid.
Yeah, how much liquor have you had to get the courage to talk about it?
Just a little tiny bit, I'm
sorry. We met 3 or so years ago. Charlie was working his second job at Sprint. And I started my job at Sprint, and he thought I was the most beautiful thing he's ever laid his eyes on the first moment that he saw me, or so he says.
There definitely was some chemistry between us right off the bat.
For sure.
We definitely related on a bunch of different levels.
Unknowingly, we didn't even know that we both felt the same way.
The same way about each other, or even just the same way. A lot of the same opinions, a lot of the same shared interests, a lot of the same shared life situations.
We were truly just coworkers, counting on the time till we could clock out, working together for at least a whole entire year.
Yeah.
And then one night it started with a tweet.
And our conversations got a little bit more and more personal.
Definitely personal.
Personal.
Quickly personal.
Yeah, very quickly. To the point that I don't think we specifically know what happened, what triggered.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it was more so you tweeted me out of the blue one night after we had gotten done with work, and I answered, and then we got to text messaging, and I mean, the rest is history. That was 3 years ago, and we've been on fire ever since.
Yes, definitely on fire. So the getting back to the taboo portion of this, the taboo portion of
the catch.
The catch is that
sounds like a great love story, huh?
The problem that we ran into,
the big problem,
is that at the time we were both married.
Yep, I was married for almost 6 years at the time,
and I was married since 1999, so like 15 years. Mm-hmm.
He had 2 kids. I had 1 kid at the time.
And very soon after that,
I became pregnant with my second. And he is a year old as of June 20th. So altogether, we have 4 kids from 10 to 1.
Living in the household with us.
Now, how did we get here?
I think part of that extended backstory is more, I think a lot of that's going to come out, the details of that's going to come out over time.
Absolutely.
I don't think we have to bore everyone with the details of it all right off the bat.
We've been trying to find time to do this podcast for months. We've been talking about it. Before we even left our spouses, we were talking about it. We were planning what we would podcast about. Now, before we left our spouses, of course, it was going to be a little bit different topics. It was going to be more geared towards a little bit more innocent, maybe, and not, bearing all in the truth. And then shortly after, we kind of came up with the graphics and the title before we even knew what we were going to talk about.
I definitely have a good time sitting down with a new idea and trying to come up with a visual to go along the icons and the website and the Twitter, all that fun stuff.
And I feel like he's sitting here like, I can't believe she's sitting in front of me podcasting with me. Finally, I have been only asking her for Months.
Yeah, we discussed podcasting over a year ago.
I think we finally got to the point where we decided that we had to sit down and start talking about this stuff because we kind of reached a place in our lives where we weren't necessarily like falling away from each other, but we were feeling the potential of being able to let life get in the way of our relationship. And we wanted to make sure that we didn't let that happen.
There's a lot of struggles, especially with the age differences, the age span of the kids. My 7-year-old son has been multiple times diagnosed ADHD, and he has been, I don't want to say a struggle, but he has been...
A learning curve?
Yeah, it's been somewhat difficult to try to figure out what I can do to help, what we can do to help, what he can do to help himself.
I mean, you essentially take 7 years of child rearing and then turn it all upside down and realize that everything that you've been doing is not working, and having to go back to the drawing board and figure out what will work.
Yeah, it's either not working or it's making things worse.
Yes, which is, as a parent, of course, you know, it's...
You feel like a failure.
Awful, yes.
So part of this adventure that we're doing right now is to hopefully, potentially learn something ourselves through any of this aspect. Anything from our crazy affair that turned into this beautiful life that we're living right now, to helping the kids, all of them,
adjust, get
to where they need to be, and kind of share some of those stories, and maybe reach out to someone else who's going through those same scenarios and help someone.
Or have them help us, because God knows we need it.
We do need it. Mm-hmm. Every day.
Yes, every day. On that note, we are currently reading a book called The Explosive Child by Ross W. Green, who's a PhD.
What was the full title?
I just said it.
I thought there was like a sentence-long title.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, like the tagline.
The Explosive Child, a new approach for understanding and parenting easily frustrated, chronically inflexible children. Which, I mean, if you think about it, what child is not easily frustrated, chronically inflexible? I, myself, am not a child, though I am easily frustrated and also chronically inflexible, as Charlie would tell me on a regular basis.
Possibly.
Sometimes. So, I started reading it. He hasn't opened it yet, but I've kind of given him... I mean, I'm only a chapter in, but I think that we're going to maybe try out some real-world strategies within this book and see how that helps our day-to-day.
I skimmed through, and it seems to have a lot of, like, examples where it's apparent, like, almost a script, and it just says, this is how the parent should react.
Well, I think the biggest thing that I've taken out of it so far is something that can be used with a child that's been diagnosed with ADHD, or a child just, you know, a child that hasn't been diagnosed with anything, and is, I don't want to say a normal child, because I don't think that he's not a normal child, but... You know, is that kids do what they can do. And, you know, as parents, we don't know what we don't know. So I think it's really important to cling to literature. And
I think that not only has he struggled with some of these symptoms prior to the situation that we're in, it definitely has worsened. Some of this situational stuff has just caused him to kind of almost push him over the edge.
Well, that, and, you know, being around other kids, having the, you know, not only children, but having the experiences that he's had over the course of, you know, the last 6-7 months of us moving in together has completely given us kind of an eye into where he's at developmentally in comparison to other kids his age as well.
And kind of like what was said earlier, where when I did work at Sprint, I was working two jobs. I had a full-time day job, and I was working Sprint three nights a week, and plus a Saturday, typically, so I was there.
Or more, because you like to work when I work.
Sometimes I was there. There were weeks that I worked 40 hours both jobs.
Yeah.
Or more. There were times that both jobs I had more than 40 hours, which was crazy. So I wasn't a very present parent for a long time. So a lot of during the beginning of this ADHD diagnosis, I spent as much time with him as a normal parent would have spent with a kid. So I didn't see, I saw him in bits and pieces, and for a short period of time, we had a visitation schedule. By short period of time, I mean days. We had a visitation schedule where he would be here for a few days or whatever, back and forth. And that, again, is another one of our topics where we will approach at some point, is this custody situation that we're going through. The short story to that is that he's been full-time in this house for 3 months.
Yep, a little more than three months. And for Theobald here. And his sister as well, of course. It's not just him. It's the two of them. And has been an adjustment for everybody. It wasn't anything that we thought was going on. Custody schedule for...
And it's definitely added to the stress. Figure a lot of things out. There's been a lot of compromise we've had to make with our relationship to be able to accommodate where we initially had the idea of it in our head that they would be here 50-50 half the time.
Yeah.
And now it's a full-time sort of thing.
And it's not only, I mean, it's full-time with you being the sole parent and me being the female in the house. So that's, I mean, a huge story that is tons of backstory and explanation, but it's definitely been a, you know, what's your role? You don't have the typical quote-unquote stepmother role when you are the sole carer of these two beautiful children.
It's been definitely an interesting...
It's been a whirlwind. It really has.
To even go back and recount that process, it's so jumbled up in my head that I don't even know if I can, unless I was to sit down with like a piece of paper and just start writing and timelining things. Like it's literally been a blur the last 7 months.
Well, even the last 2 years. I mean, September, we're at 2 years of our relationship. Being, you know, together, and 7 months of us being together full time. I mean, we were technically together full time for those 2 years because we saw each other every day.
Yeah.
Without fail, multiple times a day.
Yeah.
I mean, there was very few days that we didn't see each other. We didn't make an effort to see each other.
Yeah. As much as we could, definitely.
But this is, you know, and we have taken the summer off, both of us, to, you know, to kind of help our families adjust and to help ourselves adjust. We have this beautiful lake home.
Yeah, we're actually recording right now from our Four Season porch, which was converted into like an adult lounge. It's like a room where only adults are allowed.
And these adults don't ever get to come into this room.
Yeah, it's not used very often.
We've used it twice. This is being the second time. Well, the first time we watched a scary movie. The second time we are now podcasting from it. So we're hoping that we're going to be able to use it a little bit more.
Yeah, this will be our official podcast studio. I'll have to make a little recording sign for the door.
We also hide all of the craft supplies in this room so that the kids can't get it and they know that they're not allowed to cross that line.
So they don't color the walls and the toys and...
themselves.
Yes.
The dogs. Dog. We are dog sitting right now, so right now we have dogs.
Yeah, and the dogs are like... anxiously waiting at the door, and anytime you open that door, they're both like, can we come in? Can we come in? So.
No.
I slammed the door in their face multiple times tonight.
Oh, no. That's okay.
Okay, so a little bit about us now. My name is Charlie. I have podcasted before. I do a podcast with Joey Carr that is kind of on a hiatus. I don't know if anyone knows him or follows him on Twitter. He's had some medical issues with all kinds of heart issues, all kinds of organ issues. He had a gastric bypass, I don't know, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, maybe even close to a year ago. And he hasn't recovered from the surgery, basically. He's had a lot of problems. So that's kind of been on a hiatus. That's the other semi-current podcast that I'm working on. So we live in Minnesota. I myself was born in upstate New York, not in New York City. Whenever you say New York, people think Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty, etc. Probably 5 hours, 6 hours away from New York City, off of the end of Lake Ontario.
This is like podunk New York.
Like the town that I used to live in, you come into town, there's a golf course on the left, gas station, ice cream stand, church, bar, fire station, and you're out of town. Like, less than a mile, the span of this town.
But in this town, his whole entire family lives here.
Yeah, like, literally driving, we were there a month ago?
Yes.
A little over a month ago.
Yep.
Yeah, it was interesting to drive around and say, you know, this is where this uncle lives, this is where my grandfather's lived, this is, and it's just house after house to be able to say everyone lives within like a 5 mile span of each other, except for my mom, who we were staying with, who was like a half hour away from all that. So but I grew up there. I moved out here at the end of the 90s, somewhere in there. I don't even remember. But I, after college, moved out here, got married, lived here for a few years, and then moved to New York, bought a house, had two kids. When my ex, her dad started having heart problems, she decided she wanted to move back. So we moved back. And right after, within a matter of a couple months after we moved back, her mom was diagnosed with cancer, and a lot of this was kind of the serious downfall to her and my relationship, which I'm sure at some point we'll go into more detail about. But we were out here for a handful of years, and that sort of picks up where we were talking earlier about how Brianne and I met. So that kind of works into that, which is actually an interesting side note. Is in conversation with the kids earlier tonight, we were talking about how everything happens for a reason, where if I hadn't made any of those decisions in my life, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. So everything happens for a reason. So all of that's important, regardless of whether it's stuff that I hate or hated at the time. It's still important to bring me here today.
Yep, we live our life with no regrets.
Very true. And so now, do you want to tell a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I am a podcast virgin. This is my very first episode on my very first podcast. My name is Brianne, and I grew up in Minnesota, and I lived here for pretty much all my life. I coined the name Queen because I was the 1998-1999 Minneapolis Aquitennial Junior Queen, and it kind of stuck. Everybody called me Queen Brianne, and it's kind of stuck. And I moved to Arizona in February of 2009, because I was dating my now ex-husband, and I decided to take a huge plunge and to move in with him. And we got engaged, and we bought a house, and we got married all within the matter of a year. And we had a beautiful blonde baby, and he was in the military, my ex-husband. And so
I was going to say the baby was in the military.
No, my ex-husband was in the military. So that's why we were in Arizona, FYI. He's from Minnesota. After a while, we moved back to Minnesota. He got out of the military. And we were back around family and my old friends here, which was really nice. We rented a house here in Minnesota. Even in Arizona, I kind of felt like my marriage wasn't quite working. We were too different. And just moving back to Minnesota and kind of gathering the strength to see myself differently is what what resulted in the starting of my divorce. I mean, I guess my affair had a lot to do with it too. We did conceive an oopsie baby, who is my other blonde child. And I say blonde child because I am the darkest brunette you'll ever meet. And I have two blonde kids. And that's me. Here we are. In our lake house.
So, as for our kids, my kids are 7 and 10. And we decided not to use real names for our kids, but we are...
If you know us, you'll know what our kids' names are, obviously, but...
If you don't know us, you're going to know them by their nicknames. We're giving them right now. We've kind of just come up with some nicknames for our kids.
On the fly.
On the fly. I was thinking for my son, who's 7, he would be Flash. Or Kid Flash, depending on how I want to say it.
Call him KF.
KF. I think Kid Flash is just as easy to say.
Fine.
And my daughter is 10. And she is... The princess. She definitely thinks she's a princess.
I call her princess.
She is, yes, for all intents and purposes, a princess.
It's intents and purposes.
Okay. She is a princess. And now if we come up with anything for your kids.
Well, I have a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old. And my 5-year-old, I would probably call him the future waste management professional. That's quite a mouthful, so we just call him the garbage man.
Trash man?
Well, that sounds a little bit derogatory, so I don't know that I would really want to go there. And as for my 1-year-old, mommy's little boy, I could call him mommy's little boy, but I think I'll stick with the nickname that he got when he was in my belly, which was my sweet summer child.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yes, I figured as much.
Yes, that's perfect.
So tell me... Charlie, about your kids.
Well, starting with Kid Flash, he
was fastest kid around.
He is the fastest kid when he talks, I guess, but trying to get him out of the car.
Or to do anything else.
Yeah, he does. To empty the dishwasher takes him like a good 45 minutes at least.
More than that, sometimes. Sweeping the floor is like a 3-hour ordeal.
He is obsessed with Flash, and he has the Flash costume, and he thinks he's the fastest person on the planet. So
we let him believe it.
He can believe it. Just don't try to get him out of the car. Unbuckle his seatbelt, open the door, and stand up out of the car quickly, because that's not going to happen.
If there was a fire, he would die.
He would. But he is the one we discussed with the ADHD diagnosis, and he's incredibly smart. We were driving in the car... Just him and I coming home from somewhere because both of our cars seat 5 and we have more kids than that, so we typically have to take 2 cars, and the way it fell, both of us were in the car, the other car except for Kid Flash and I, and we were discussing multiplication. His sister is learning multiplication in school, so he wanted to know what it was all about, so I kind of explained it to him on a real basic term. And within we were on our way home, we were 10 minutes away or whatever, and within that 10-15 minutes to get home, he had figured out, like, you could give him a problem, like, 2 times 10, and he'd be like, 20. So, he's incredibly smart. As for my daughter, the princess, she is growing up way too fast. She thinks she's either a teenager or an adult. She definitely is to a point where she thinks she is allowed more privilege, which sometimes she gets more privilege because she is older, but she sometimes expects it when she's not supposed to get it. and adult conversation stuff. She's like, what are we talking about? Where are we? What's that text message say? She needs to be like right in the middle of everything, but she's kind of coming into her own with some, I don't know, she acquired a bunch of dresses, beautiful dresses. We went to the store one day for other things one night and ended up buying her this beautiful dress, and she loves to wear it pretty much anywhere. I can't even... the next day was a birthday party, one of her cousin's birthday parties, and she wore the dress there and kind of wowed everybody with it, so...
And she likes the attention, of course, because, again, she likes to be the center, so she got even more dresses and has been doing her hair and her makeup sometimes, which we didn't really let her leave the house, but it's fun to do costume makeup. So, yeah, she's definitely marches to the beat of her own drum, but is also kind of coming into that Emma tween phase.
Very much wanting to have, like, her own Facebook and stuff like that. She wants her own Snapchat.
Yeah,
it's not gonna happen. I think the like, legal limit for that's, like, 13.
Legal. It's a suggestion.
No, there is a legal limit for a website. In order to cater to kids under 13, you have to have certain things in place.
You would know, Mr. Technical Consultant Extraordinaire.
Because in order to put your site on Google or something, they question all those things.
Interesting.
Which this, sidebar, this podcast will get its own Android app once everything's up and running and working. So to put that Android app in the Google Play Store, you have to state what age range your target audience is, which I'm probably going to, based on content, probably will be like a rated M for mature sort of podcast.
I sure hope so.
There's really no...
Will we be on iTunes?
Yeah, we'll be on iTunes also.
Awesome. So you can check us out there.
The goal is iTunes, Stitcher, Android app, and the Google Play Store. Hopefully.
Maybe. I have two wonderful children as well. Again, 5 and 1. My garbage man is the 5-year-old, and he is just like his dad. He is shy and sweet and bossy, and he just has an air about him, and he is definitely one of those kids that that's where the phrase out of the mouth of babes came from, is just the way that he acts. He is always making me laugh. He is so silly. He loves being near me, which is great for my ego. And he won't let me go anywhere, even the bathroom or a porta potty, without him. So he's kind of clingy in that way, which is nice too. He is starting kindergarten this year, and he's nervous, but he's excited that he gets to go to kindergarten with his bonus brother and bonus sister.
That way all three of them can ride the bus together.
It won't be nearly as scary for me. He'll have
the other two to look after him.
Yes. Hopefully. It depends on the day. And then I have my sweet summer child, who is 1, and he is my baby, and the apple of my eye. He and I have this bond that is completely different than any bond that I've ever known or felt with anyone. And it's just, he's definitely mommy's boy. His brother is a daddy's boy, and it's different. Usually, the boy is the daddy's boy, and the boys are the mommy's boys, and the girls are daddy's girls. But for my eldest, it's a little different. But my 1-year-old is my cuddle bug, and he'll lay his head down on my chest or any part of my body. Anytime that he sees me, he has the sweetest smile. Everybody says so. And, he is just the light of my life. So
it's an odd scenario for me too, because I definitely feel like I have a bond with the 1-year-old, because I was there basically
the whole pregnancy,
the entire pregnancy, and
the rubbing my belly and the kissing my belly and the I mean, for everything.
And it was one of those scenarios where we would be together and I would talk and he would react, like, in utero reaction from my voice.
Well, a lot of it I used to say, too, is because I think that would sense my feelings for you. And, you know, okay, yeah. Cheesy moment, how my blood pressure would go, or whatever, my pulse would go up or something like that. In a true. Non-dirty way. So, those are our kids. They're the reason that we wake up every morning. The reason that we never get to bed. The reason that we wake up in the middle of the night. The reason we have no food in this house.
The reason that we're recording this at almost midnight.
True story. They are... They run this place.
They think they run this place.
It's true. They really don't, but don't tell them that, because it's better to give them the illusion of power sometimes.
Yeah, it sometimes gives them a little bit of incentive to do some stuff. That's kind of where we're working toward, too, is getting them to do more chores so that they can kind of see their self-worth in the house.
You have to edit that out so they can kind of see their what?
Their what?
Self-worth? No.
Self?
That's horrible. No.
Self-worth?
No. We want them to see their self-worth and everything.
True.
So they can earn their keep.
Yeah. But I think it helps them feel better about themselves to be able to do something to help the house. Where they're doing it to do it
so maybe a confidence booster would be better?
Yeah. Where they're not just here mooching? Mooching off us, sitting around watching TV and eating our food. They're actually contributing to the home.
Which, on that note, is something that we kind of decided. I don't think we even ever sat down to decide it. It's just been kind of a ongoing, unspoken mutual agreement between the two of us, is that we don't do TV. I mean, we do it, you know,
here and there.
Yeah, every so often, but we've never... I mean, I can't even... When's the last time we turned... Oh, we watched a movie the other night.
Yeah, it's as a family, like watching a movie, or they watched
Zootopia.
Zootopia.
Or some other PBS show or something.
Yeah,
something every so term. Often. Video games have not been turned on in this house for months.
Well, I played some video games the other
day. I mean, but for the kids, they didn't know. And he's been walking around playing Minecraft for the last couple days in a row.
I know, I'm just sitting on the couch building my own world in Minecraft.
But did you notice that they don't even ask anymore?
They see it and they question it, and sometimes they'll whisper, like, can I play Minecraft when you're done?
And usually you don't answer them, and then they just don't ask again.
Yeah.
But it's not because we're crunchy and have decided that, you know, TV is the devil and we're not going to do with TV and so on and so. It's more so because they were kind of lacking in imagination. They didn't really know what to do with themselves. They were walking around expecting us to entertain them in some way. And for our own sanity, I mean, instead of putting them in front of the TV, we're like, no, we need to teach them to be able to play. They, at least your two, especially because of the, I think that the age and the fact that they were into more TV and video games and so on, they really didn't play.
For the longest time, I thought that Kid Flash at 7, yeah, probably around the time he turned 7, I thought that his imagination was broken. That he couldn't play, where he would want to come home from school or whatever and play video games or whatever, and I would say, you know, go up in your room, play with Legos, and it was like, or play with an action figure or play with cars or something, and he'd be like, I don't know how, I just want to play a video game. Like, he couldn't sit down and play with anything, which very well could have been a large contributor to his ADHD and some of that stuff. Some of the things that we've noticed in the 7 months he's been here in our household, since things have changed and he's had more structure, where family members have made comments that both of my two kids' behavior has significantly improved.
Well, and kids thrive on routine and structure and, you know, knowing what is expected of them. And I think that has been a really important thing. And it's, I mean, and to that point as well, that's a huge thing in itself, is the developmental differences between a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And you would think, you know, they are pretty well spaced out, but at the same time, I mean, the 10-year-old is a tween. She is completely different place than the 5-year-old or even the 7-year-old developmentally, plus she's female. So that has been a huge learning curve for me to, you know, I'd never had a 10-year-old and I've never had a 7-year-old. So just kind of trying to figure out, okay, well, I know babies, I know toddlers. This is a whole new ball game for me.
It's kind of given you a little bit of an advance notice type thing, like a head start on him being 5 now and starting kindergarten in
a month and a half.
He's going to be getting on the bus and going to big kid school.
Yeah.
Which is going to be like a life change for him and for you.
I think it's going to be good for him, for his shyness and so on and so forth. I hope, at least. I mean, preschool was good for him with that whole... And then, but also diving into this blended family. I mean, this is not non-traditional. I mean, usually you get a divorce, you live on your own for a little while, you get on your feet, and then you maybe meet somebody a couple years down the road, and you date that person for a little while, and then you slowly introduce that person to your children, and then you develop a relationship outside of your, you know, household, and then maybe you invite that person into your home, and there's, you know, society has this way of that you're supposed to do things, and I think that we kind of skipped all of that, and it wasn't a on the whim kind of decision that we made. It was a long, thought out, talked about decision. In fact, we used to call it, or I guess we still do call it, Disney. When we first started seeing each other, that was our term for having everything you ever wanted. Happiness, total happiness. It's the happiest place on earth. And so what do you want is what I used to say over and over again, is what do you want?
And I was terrible with that decision because I was thinking, I could never think from a long-term perspective. It was always like, what do I want right now? I don't know what I want right now. Like, I don't know how to get from, I know what I want down the road, but I don't know how to get from here to there. So it doesn't matter because I don't know how to do it, because that's what I do, is I fix things.
I mean, and it was almost like, looking back, it was a no-brainer. We are so compatible. So everything that you've ever... You're giving me this look. What is the look?
I'm just listening and enjoying what you're saying.
Oh, okay. What was I saying?
Say some nice things about me.
I will.
Okay, I'm just waiting.
It's everything that... I mean, that you read about. You watch the romance movies, you read romance novels, and you literally think to yourself that I want this, this is what I want, and that's the ideal that you, the standard that you hold every relationship to, and then anybody that you meet before this person crashes down that expectation, and you're like, okay, well, maybe I can live with this, and maybe I can live with that, and maybe, you know, I like these traits, and I could live with the other traits that I don't necessarily like. And in this relationship, at least for me, I can't think of one trait that I'm like, nah, I could live with it, but I don't really want, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That everything falls together with us. Everything's so compatible.
I mean, it's kind of sick. Like, we could finish our each other's sentences.
I was hoping you'd be like, we could finish each other's, yeah, and then pause.
I'm
and
not
then
I would have said something though.
Funny like, pizza.
Oh, you can do that, too. I'm not that cheesy.
I was just trying to be funny.
Pizza.
I'm the Joker.
Cheesy pizza.
Cheesy pizza.
You didn't even get it.
I didn't get
it. You're supposed to be the Joker, or is it because I'm not that funny? They can't
no comment.
See your face.
No comment. Gonna plead the fifth.
It's probably for the best. Anyways, I was talking about how wonderful you are.
That's right. That's right. That's where we left off. So, I'm thinking that there's two ways that we can move forward with the podcast, one of which being...
Oh, I see. So I said wonderful things about you, but you don't need to say wonderful things about me.
You didn't really say wonderful things about me. You said wonderful things about us.
I'll wait.
We love hard, and we fight hard.
Yes, tell me more.
We love hard, and we fight hard, and we always find a way after a fight to bring ourselves back to better than we were before.
Well, when you say bring yourself back, you literally mean to bring yourself physically back to the location that I am waiting because you love to run away.
I need to go get away, and I need to get some space. And be that downstairs, or be that...
Another state.
I haven't left the state.
Yet?
I left the city.
True.
But I didn't leave the state.
Well, I think the important thing is that thus far, you've always come back.
I have always come back.
And it happens so rarely that...
Yeah, it's definitely a rarity, and I think it's... I was just thinking this earlier today in the car, when we went for a drive, that we haven't had a big fight in a little while, and I didn't want to say it out loud, because then I thought that I'd be jinxing us.
I thought you didn't believe in jinxes.
I don't know, maybe I do.
If you want to fight, we could fight.
Do you want to fight right now while we're recording?
I mean, I don't have anything to fight you about.
I know. If I think of something, I'll let you know. I'll keep it. I'll table that.
There's grease all over the top of the oven that's been there for 2 days that you haven't cleaned up.
Yeah. I cleaned the inside of the oven, though, before I made pizza tonight.
You did. So, okay, that's...
So it doesn't smell like the house is burning down when I'm making that. Pizza.
I don't know. You've been pretty amazing lately. You've cleaned up vomit. You, from both animal and child, you have cleaned up feces from, thankfully, only animals.
Both dogs.
Yes. Today. Within the last 24 hours.
Yeah, yesterday and today.
One wonderful dog that we are dog-sitting decided that he wanted to
remodel?
Remodel.
More demolition.
Bathroom. Well, you have to demo it before you remodel it.
True.
He knew that I wanted to replace the floor. We did have this conversation.
It wasn't really the floor, though. It was like a kickboard.
Well, maybe that was part of it.
A short section of kickboard. I think it's called kickboard.
Maybe in a different life, he was an architect, and he knew that you had to remove...
That to put up new.
Yes.
Yes. But he took it down literally, like literally in the actual sense of literally, not like figuratively.
Right.
He There's literally...
a complete difference between literally and figuratively.
But people use them the same now.
Correct, but they're incorrect
they to are
use
incorrect.
Them the same way. So, as the fact that I am the grammar queen...
So, literally, the dog took the piece of board off the wall and chewed it into sawdust.
Which is actually really impressive.
Like
I mean,
wood chips.
Maybe
like,
he was a beaver also in a past life.
I didn't find a big piece of board. Like, I didn't... There's not a big... substantial piece of board left. It's literally like you put it through a chipper, it's chipped.
And if his mommy, Miss B, is listening, we didn't leave him alone for like a super long amount of time, just so you know.
It was like a half hour drive away, couple hours there, half hour drive back. So yeah, it wasn't very long, and he started digging through the sheetrock.
He's quite resourceful.
To the point that I can see into the wall.
I didn't know that. I haven't actually looked at it yet. You didn't take pictures.
Like I didn't take my phone was dead, so I didn't take any pictures.
Is that your excuse?
And I have been down there a couple times since the phone's been charged, yes, but I haven't taken any pictures.
You said you wanted to fight. I'm just picking fights.
We should take a walk after we're done.
We can. We have to walk up and so on. Oh my goodness. Well, we're on the topic of animals. You should probably tell everybody about all of our animals in the zoo that we live in.
Okay. So right off the bat, we already stated that we have a dog. Plus a borrowed dog.
We did borrow him. He's a little thing. Like, think black lab. Okay, the borrowed dog, not our dog.
He's like a mini black lab.
Mini black lab.
Like a cross between a black lab and a chihuahua.
Not that small, but
what would you call it? A black chihuahua?
Some black chihuahua lives matter. And so our dog is female. Her name is Lola. She was not a showgirl. She is a pit bull. And sweetest dad to meet the kids.
Super protective.
Yes, of the kids. And potentially me, but nobody's ever broken in yet, so we don't know. But the kids pull her jowls and her ears and her tail and
ride her
on top of her. Yeah. And she just kind of looks around like, I'm so glad someone's touching me.
Yeah, I'm getting paid attention to.
Yeah. We have three cats. Now, I came with two cats into this. I brought that these cats into this relationship.
I came with none.
Correct. And then we
added one.
Princess decided that she absolutely had to have a kitten. And I decided that I would ask Dad, and Dad said no, and so then I drove up to St. Cloud, and we got a kitten. And so she, her name is Polly, because she's a polydactyl, and I named her, and Princess just kind of went along with it, so I'm happy with that. And she is a pain in the tush.
She's all over the place. She attacks your feet constantly.
But she's sweet in her own way, too. So, I mean, there's that. And she, like, will run away from anybody else, but as soon as Princess picks her up, she's just, like, all lovey and affection. I mean, that's her cat for sure. We did go to the dollar store. We love to shop really thrifty. We went to the dollar store and we purchased a dog sweater for the kitten. And Princess was away for the night, and we missed her so very much that we decided to dress her cat up, which would have been something she would have enjoyed very much.
And any cat that I've had, you put anything on it and it just can't walk, like it
forgets that it has paws. Yes. This cat, though, just wore that thing for 2 days straight and was like,
was rocking it. Yeah. She was like walking around strutting her stuff. It said Diva on the back of it.
She was all about eyes. It was great. She's not wearing it presently. We wanted to make sure that her fur could breathe and she could clean herself efficiently, and hygiene is really important to all of us. So.
And the joke kind of wore off.
True, but she'll put it back on, I'm sure. She wants to buy more doll clothes and so on for the cat. So that, what do we got? We got a proud dog, three cats, and four ducks.
And two of those ducks are?
Pekins.
Pekins, they're the
Aflac duck.
Yep, the white ones.
White ones. And then two of them are?
Cayuga.
Which is from the state of?
New York.
Which is named after?
Cayuga Lake.
Yes.
Cayuga County.
Cayuga everything. Cayuga. And I think
the wine that I was drinking tonight was from Cayuga.
Oh.
Very appropriate. So those are, they're black. Completely black.
Well, but then they are kind of, is it called incandescent? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's almost like
iridescent. Is that what it is?
Like a...
greens and purples, kind of like a topaz ring. You know, it hits the...
It's almost like a shine. Like, you can only see it
in the light.
In the light or when they're wet.
It's the coolest thing. I had no idea that this was ever going to happen. Now, here's the thing. We got the ducks because we thought it would be cool, number one. Number two, we live in a lake. Number three, we really like eggs, and we thought, hey, duck eggs, that'd be great. Now, number one, they are super cool, so we got that right. Number two, we live on a lake, but they don't go anywhere near the darn thing. And number three, they have yet to lay an egg for us.
I think we're getting close, though. I think they might.
I don't know if we have any...
Pairs. We'll have to see.
Because they were unsexed when we got them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to turn them over and get scratched and so on and try to, quote-unquote...
figure it out.
...sex them. So, I'm just kind of operating on the assumption that the ones with the raspier quack are the male and the normal quack are the female, which is what I've read on the internets. And so we'll see if any of them produce us some breakfast.
Maybe we'll get eggs. And a funny story about them is, I put this on Twitter the other day.
Oh, this is a good story.
Is that they were missing, and they've been wandering into the neighbor's
yard. MIA.
So we thought maybe they just wandered away. They've never left, like, since.
Or they were eaten. Who knows?
Because they were a neighbor dog. It attacked two of them at one point. So we didn't know where they were. We did, like, a circle of the lawn. And I walked out to the lake and was standing there. And I thought I heard them, but I couldn't see them. And maybe it was wild ducks. Who knows? Could have been anything. So I wandered back up. We met in the yard, and I'm like, I thought I heard them down by the lake, but I don't know. I couldn't see them. So we walked down there, and I'm scanning the lake, and three houses down, I could see them sitting on the shore. At least I could see the white ones sitting on the shore, kind of looking around like they were lost and didn't know how they got there. So my recovery plan was, we have an inflatable kayak, and I went and got it, and I was going to get the pump, and I was going to blow it up, and I was going to paddle myself out onto the lake and see if I can draw them in and get them to follow me back. So I'm hunting for the pump. The kids had used it to pump up a pool, and it didn't get put away, and I couldn't find it, which did find it afterwards.
Did you? I was wondering.
It's in the weeds under the deck.
Of course it is.
I think it's still there. So I'm searching around for that, and at the same time,
I was calling them. And
here, ducks.
Well, no. So my thing is, hey, ducks. And I didn't know that they even pay attention to me.
And she says it every day. Like, pretty much every day. At least once a day you say it to them.
In the morning, I open up the door, and I say good morning to them, and that's how I say it. And, you know, any other time that I see them, I say it. And, you know, they'll quack at me, and they'll kind of be like, who are you talking to? And walk away from me. But this time,
well, we looked in the... they weren't there. And she's still steadily calling, and then I come back into the backyard, and I'm like, I give up. I can't find the pump. And then we looked up in the neighbor's yard, and all four of them in a row were walking back. Like, they heard the voice, figured out what direction it was coming from, and started heading home.
So, that was pretty cool. Because I told you before we got these ducks, and you were kind of, like, on the fence about whether or not it was true, or this is real, that they're more loyal than dogs. And I think that we proved that.
Yeah, because if you let the dog out, right, the dog goes around the corner and to the left.
And she's gone.
And down to the swamp.
Yeah. So, but the ducks came home right away.
Right away.
They know where their food is, for sure.
Yes.
Although they eat everything anywhere else, too. They're great pest control, or so I hear. And I think it's true, because we really haven't had, you know, as many spiders as I guess I would have thought that we would have had, but it's not the winter time either, so we'll have to see. But on that note, too, we forgot one really huge thing that we're into. And no, it's not dirty. Kayaking.
Kayaking, yes.
So we acquired a kayak from my godmother. She traded up and got something new, and we really didn't have any idea. I mean, I guess we did kind of, because we had been talking a little bit about the possibility of getting like a canoe or a kayak because of the fact that we live on the lake.
Or like a paddle boat.
Yeah, just something to take out there. We didn't really know what the water was like out there. So we were looking on Craigslist free because we're super cheap. And
we love a deal.
We do. We love deals. And we I got this text message and it said, hey, you live on a lake. Do you want my kayak? And, I mean, it's a pretty nice kayak. I mean, they retail on Amazon for like $139. And she just brought it over that same day, and we've had it ever since. And it is a one-person inflatable kayak. You sit on top of it. It is super nice. And we
super stable.
It is. And we've taken it on Lake Mille Lacs, if you're familiar with the area. It's one of the, what is that, the second largest lake
completely contained
by land
in the state of Minnesota.
Yes. And it was a very choppy, windy day, and the waves were huge. And we took it out, and I didn't tip, though I felt like I was going to numerous times. But in addition, we also purchased a
very inexpensive.
Well, I mean, it's expensive.
Like a four-person.
By my standards. But yeah, it's a four-person blow-up Coleman. Or is it Coleman?
I don't think it's Coleman. It's like Walmart brand.
Sure.
Something.
Boat. Inflatable boat. Like a raft.
Which works great, but it's a whole lot harder to paddle that thing than it is to paddle the kayak.
And the kids like it. They have trouble sitting still, so it's kind of a stressor. But we have, there in our town, there's two large lakes that are connected with to each other by a channel, and we have done the whole two lakes once. We have not done it since, but we did it once. And we've been talking about it, doing it again. It's just logistically.
There was a few hours, yeah, because you go across the one.
It takes about 3 hours.
Channel, there and back. Across the other. We pulled the boats up on the beach, kind of stood there for a moment, let the kids swim for a little bit.
Used the restroom at the beach.
Realized that the sun was setting.
And then we only had a half hour after sunset to get back.
And so we paddled like crazy and made it back. Before sunset.
Yeah. We did. I think we did a really good job. We made up time on the way back. We would like to do it again. So if any listeners are avid kayakers in the area, know of any easy type areas to take it out, that would be cool and scenic. That would be nice to hear.
It is fun to take it out somewhere new.
But easy. I'm stressing the word easy. Because I am definitely not a professional.
We haven't taken it down any rivers yet.
No, and the logistics of taking it down a river, it baffles me. Like, how do you
get back?
Well, we looked that up, and they have these, like...
It's like a bike courier type person. Yeah. Where if you go on a bike, you pay someone, and they deliver your bike to the next place.
Which is good.
You'd almost have to know someone who's going to have someone drop you off and pick you up.
But here's my question. I mean, really, and I don't know if Charlie, you can answer this question for me, but maybe a listener can answer it for me. And this may be the most ignorant question that you're asked all day, but maybe not.
There's no stupid question.
Just stupid people. How do you know that... So you find a place that you want to get into this river, yes? And you're on your kayak, and you got your life jacket on, you're ready to go. And then you're going down the river, past where you could see from the shore, and then all of a sudden there's, like, a waterfall or something. You know, obviously maybe not that drastic, but how do you know the safety?
I would assume that there's going to be some kind of, like... guide of some sort, a book or an app or something where you would research that before you did it?
Well, maybe, but then, okay, so how about with the amount of rain that we've had lately and the water levels of the Mississippi River?
Everything constantly changing.
Exactly. So, I mean, I guess you shouldn't put your kayak on the river until you are for sure that it's okay for you to tip yourself over, because I have yet to tip over, and maybe it's something that I just need to do to get it over with.
And it's different from like a kayak where your legs go inside, where those a lot of times you flip it over and then you can flip yourself right back up. With this, you're sitting on top, so you almost have to be able to, you have to have the upper body strength to be able to pull yourself back up on top.
Well, and you almost, I mean, if you're going down a river and it's moving quickly, you're almost going to have to, I mean, think about it, you've fall over, you're disoriented, you have your paddle in your hand, you hopefully don't drop your paddle, you have to grab your paddle, grab your kayak before it goes zipping down the river, you have to get yourself to somewhere where you can hang on or swim.
A lot of times people have straps.
Yeah.
You tie yourself to it.
You would have to, almost.
So you don't lose it.
Duct tape your feet.
Right to it.
Just, yeah. For sure.
Pretty sure that's terrible advice. If someone did that, I'm pretty sure they would.
Don't try that at home.
I'm pretty sure they would drown.
Probably. Don't do that. So, as you probably have heard, we are definitely not professional kayakers or boaters.
Or podcasters.
Podcasters, parents, relationship gurus. I do not claim to be a professional anything.
Yeah. I don't either.
I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants.
It's a whirlwind.
It is. And I think that we're going to have some people that are not going to really approve of our life.
Some people, we could just randomly use the word X for those people. Like, we could assign the letter X to them.
Yeah.
And those people probably wouldn't approve.
And the people like them.
The people associated with them.
Or people that have been touched by the negativity of divorce, affairs, so on and so forth.
True.
But I hope that those people can get over themselves, because we are happier than we ever would have been, and our lives are completely different and amazing and special and
amazing.
Did I say amazing?
I don't know if you said amazing, but that was the word.
That because you're not listening to me?
That popped into my head while you were talking, so
it's probably because I said it.
Possibly.
Do you think we've talked to these people enough?
I think we may have talked enough for this episode.
Do you think anybody's going to listen?
It's possible.
That's scary.
It is kind of scary, but it would be interesting for people to be able to reach out to us.
It is too bad that we have no way for that to happen. I wish that there was this, you know, it'd be really good if you could have this thing, right? Where you could get on your computers, okay?
Go to, like, an address.
Address, yes. Like,
type it in, like, thejokerandthequeen.com.
It'd be awesome.
And then hit enter.
Yeah.
Or click go.
Uh-huh.
Or tap go with your thumb.
I told you he could read my mind and finish my sentences.
And then it loads up information on there.
It would be great if that was a possibility.
So those possible places, I actually... While I was fumbling around with the computer while we were arguing, like, come on, just start recording, I was attempting to set up a Twitter page.
Uh-huh.
Or a Twitter account.
Okay. What's Twitter?
Twitter is short message social media.
Okay.
Question mark?
Yeah. 160 characters kind of thing?
140 characters.
Okay.
I think it's 140 characters.
Okay.
Well, I know right off you can reach me on Twitter, at Charlie DeLong. And I will create one for the show, and I'll put it in the show notes. Otherwise, any of these links can be found in the show notes or at our website, which I mentioned before.
The Joker.
The Joker.
And the Queen.
.com. Hopefully, by the time this releases, that will be completely set up to a point where it looks nice.
And our graphics will be featured on our website.
Our cool logo.
That'd be awesome.
Cool. Very cool logo.
That was figured out 7 months ago, and now we're finally podcasting. That was
figured out before we moved in here.
It was.
We actually figured that out while I was living at your house.
With my ex-husband and myself.
Happy family.
It was a happy family. Not really.
It was really awkward.
It was super awkward folding your laundry and folding my husband's underwear and my lover's underwear in the same load of laundry.
Yeah.
So that is a sneak peek into the stories.
What's to come?
That we have to come on the next episode of
The Joker
and the Queen. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Welcome to episode 1 of The Joker and the Queen. I am Queen Brienne, and this is...
The Joker, Charlie.
He's quite a joke, that's for sure.
More joke than Joker.
True. True story.
So we are starting this podcast to kind of share a little bit about our lives.
Yes.
Some of our adventures.
Yes.
Some of our past adventures and some of our present adventures and some of our future adventures.
Mm-hmm.
We're recording again.
Welcome to episode 1 of The Joker and the Queen. I'm Queen Brienne.
And I am Charlie the Joker. It's gonna be a long night.
Good thing you're drinking. Welcome to episode. Stop. Cut. Welcome to episode 1 of The Joker and the Queen. I'm Queen Brienne.
And I am Charlie the Joker.
I don't know if I like Charlie the Joker. I think that's the problem.
Joker Charlie?
No.
Charlie, aka.
No, let me
think. Joker. I am the Joker, also known as at Charlie DeLong on Twitter. Follow me there.
Okay. I got that. Ready? Are we recording?
Action.